Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Divi Nation. Divi Nation is a podcast and video show by Elegant Themes, the creators of Divi, the ultimate WordPress theme and visual page builder. Now the goal of Divi Nation is really simple. We want to provide you with the knowledge, insights, and supportive community that you need to be successful with WordPress and Divi. I'm your host, Nathan B. Weller, and as your host, it's my job to facilitate that success by having various guests from the Divi and wider WordPress community on the show to share their stories and experiences with you. In this episode, I interview Noelle Steegs of noellesteegs.com. Noelle is a freelance web designer living the digital nomad lifestyle. In fact, when I caught up with her earlier this week, she was out in the African bush using her iPad to join me via Skype, which, if you ask me, is pretty cool. We've had some folks on the show before who have taken their life and businesses on the road in RVs or vans or campers, but I don't think we've ever had anybody who's lived and worked out of a backpack all over the world, which is a much more minimal and, in my opinion, kind of tricky way to work, but as you can imagine, really rewarding too. So during the course of our conversation, Noelle shares her WordPress and Divi story and then dives deep into a whole slew of tips and tricks for anyone interested in becoming a digital nomad themselves. We've got all that and more in today's episode of Divi Nation. Here it is. Noelle, welcome to Divi Nation.
Hi, Nathan. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm very happy to have you. You've been nominated several times when I've posted in the Facebook groups asking people to request new guests for the Divi Nation podcast. And your name has come up, I think, two or three times. So I'm glad we finally get to connect and meet each other.
Yeah, me as well.
So you're clearly outdoors right now. Can you kind of tell us a bit about, you know, where you're at?
Yeah, so I'm in Wilderness in the Garden Route in South Africa right now. I'm here for 6 months to spend some time with friends here and enjoy the outdoor lifestyle and enjoy all the peace and quiet and the sounds while I design websites and do my thing.
That's awesome. So how does that work exactly? I mean, like, what's your typical work day like when you're working from a campsite?
I would say, right now it's turning into spring now, which means the sun gets up earlier. So, you know, nature life for me is very much like getting up with the sun. And I typically have a very slow morning with some coffee overlooking the campsite and just enjoying the bird life. And then maybe mid-morning I start with my admin. I answer all my emails and I make sure I have my presence on social media, and then I dive into whatever project I have going on.
Wow, that's awesome.
And I might work a little bit into the evening as well, which is quite cozy because the work I actually do from inside a tent. So, Yeah, then it's just some cozy lights on and something warm to drink. And yeah, it's quite nice.
That's awesome. So what's your desk setup like? Are you just like on a laptop on your lap on a chair, or are you actually have some type of a small portable desk, or what's your actual physical setup look like when you're doing client work?
Right. Yeah. So I have a fold out desk. I work together with a friend of mine who's in the same field. So we just have a big desk set up and we sit beside each other and we have our camping chairs. And yeah, just make sure you're warm and cozy, because obviously at night it gets pretty cold. And then I'm on my laptop. Just like that.
That is awesome. I love this. I mean, we've had a few people who do remote work, but it's, you know, I think David Blackman is another person who's been on the podcast before. He's very active in the community, but when he was doing his nomadic style, he was doing it from like an RV with like a lot of gear. And so it seemed like it was a bit easier. You're doing like the bare bones version, which is really awesome. I love that idea of like maybe being able to get out somewhere really, really far in nature and still be able to stay connected enough to like, do all the practical things in life, like pay your bills or whatever.
About the setup in terms of internet, that's actually been the biggest challenge because, Yes. You know, living my nomadic lifestyle in Europe, it was easier because you have a lot of Wi-Fi hotspots. And, when you go and stay somewhere, they typically have Wi-Fi that you can connect to. But here, I mean, I'm basically on this big camping site. There is no ADSL. There is no free Wi-Fi. So I had to make my own plan. And it's kind of remote. So it means that when you look at a coverage map of an internet provider, often you find that you're out of the zone. So it actually was a challenge and ended up buying actually prepaid bulk data on a SIM card to stick into my router. And like, wow. That's how I work and that's how I'm working. But it's been a bit of a thing getting that right, but I'm glad it's now.
That's wild. Can you maybe talk about that just a little bit more and explain how that works? I mean, are you on like LTE or like, are you? Yeah. Yeah, okay. Okay. And then you.
Sometimes 3G even. Oh.
Yeah. So.
I'm totally into it now.
That's awesome. Well, I mean, I imagine it's probably workable when you don't have to do a lot of video stuff like this. You know, this, if you had to do on a daily basis, or if you had to upload a lot of big files, that would be pretty challenging. But if it's just loading web pages, I imagine you can, still get the job done pretty well.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I don't encounter many problems, so that's fine. And also, if I do need to do like a very big upload, then I can always go and sit at a local coffee shop or something like that to do it still, if necessary.
Yeah, that brings up another question. I mean, you're out at a campsite in Africa. What do you do when you're not designing websites out there? I mean, what's the big draw aside from, you know, hanging out with friends, obviously? What's the big draw to the area specifically that you enjoy going out there? Is it the landscape? Is it going hiking or climbing, or what do you do?
Yeah, so I definitely like to enjoy nature and I love having the mountains around. I mean, here when I walk down the path, I see the ocean in front of me. And then on the right, see the mountains, and it's just all this green and the starry nights. I mean, I love sitting under the stars. You can see the Milky Way, having a campfire growing alone or with my friends. It's just really nice. So just, you know, taking time to huddle up, be cozy, and just read and have all the background sounds is just really lovely.
That sounds so awesome. I would do that in a second.
Yeah.
I have a goal here in the United States of getting a mobile setup put together so that I could do stretches working out at national parks, because I love to do, you know, hiking and the national parks are so gorgeous. You know, there's they're so scenic and there's big, you know, big mountains and lakes and rivers and just so much to explore. And I feel like if you don't get out there, you're never going to, if you don't make a point of going out and doing it, it's, you know, it's not just going to happen on its own. So I love that someone, I get to interview someone who's actually doing it and making it work on a practical level, as well as just actually physically being there. You know, it's really, really inspiring.
Thanks. Yeah, you should definitely go for it. Hey, I mean, I can recommend to anyone to at least, you know, give the lifestyle a go and see, you know, and just test it out and start. It's really nice. And also it makes a big difference for my work-life balance as well, because I definitely have my, introvert moods, my kind of like hermit moods where when I'm in the city or when I was in the Netherlands or whatever, and I didn't have a stimulating environment around me, it was very easy for me to just sit inside and just, you know, lock myself up and work, and because I love what I do and I love getting into, you know, into the zone. And but when you do love that so much, it can get too much sometimes as well. So now that I'm in such a nice environment and something that really stimulates like the slow kind of lifestyle, my balance is much better and I really take so much more time for myself. So
that's really cool. Yeah, so we're seeing you right now out living, you know, your dream nomadic lifestyle, designing websites from the wilderness. How did you get there? What's the connection from, you know, where you're at now all the way back to when you first got involved in web design? Can you tell us a bit about that story or that journey?
Sure. So around, I would say, 4 or 5 years ago, I got an idea for an online store. And at that point, I didn't even know how to use Facebook properly, let alone design a website. Hey, I knew nothing. And I had no money to invest. So the only thing I had was a lot of time and is 2 megasecond internet connection, because that's when I just moved to South Africa. I was living in this kind of farmer's village called Caledon. So what I did is, because I was so motivated to get it off the ground, I consumed all the free information, not paid courses, free information, mm-hmm. the best blogs out there about mainly digital marketing, because I started as a Facebook and Facebook page.
Oh, sorry, it's breaking up a little bit. You started as a Facebook what?
So I started with a Facebook page for this business where I sold the products. And then because of the demand, decided to set up a website. So I rolled from the digital marketing into web design. And yeah, I mean, and my first website was a WordPress website with WooCommerce, with table rate shipping, with drop shipping vendors all over the globe.
Wow.
So it was like deep dive.
Yeah,
I had no idea what I was doing.
Let's just spin up a WordPress blog. You went full development on that thing. You had to do e-commerce and all that. Did all the most complex stuff. Looks like we're having a little bit of a video freeze. Let's pause for just a second. The connection speed looks like it's struggling to keep up with us.
Are you still there?
I'm still here. Okay, so your first project sound like a doozy. I'm just curious, you know, what tools did you use to build your first WordPress website, and how did that eventually turn into using Divi for web design?
Right. So I was, at the time, I basically just downloaded the theme that was highest selling in the e-commerce section on ThemeForest.
Mm-hmm.
And the theme, according to a good friend of mine who's in the hosting business, he said he'd never seen such a bloated theme before. The website was massive. It was slow. It was terrible. And then somehow, maybe it was a Facebook ad, maybe it was because of a WordPress Facebook group, I came across an ad for Divi. And this was, I believe, when it just launched, or maybe its first update, but way back. And then because I'd learned more, because in the meantime, I'd gotten a digital marketing agency, contacted me, asked me to do some work for them. So I'd learned so much in the meantime that I wanted to actually redevelop the website already, which I used Divi for. So that website 2.0 was also my first Divi experiment.
Oh, wow.
And so from there, I worked for the digital marketing agency for a year or so, and after that, so I decided to go freelance and I do swear by it because I haven't found a project yet that I can't use it for. So that's really cool.
That's awesome. Yeah. So I'm looking at, you know, your website and your portfolio. What would you say that you found a niche that tends to be a good fit for what the types of websites you like to build, or do you just take whatever client comes along? How do you decide on that front?
Yeah, right now I've just been, whenever a client resonates with me or when an idea resonates with me. So, for example, you'll see a portfolio item named InHarmony Solutions. And what they do mm-hmm. is they sell smart home technology. So they're into home automation, which to me, to my geeky side, really spoke to me. And, you know, when I love the energy of a person, I think building a website for someone is so much more than just taking a job on and rolling with it. It's building a relationship, and you really have to connect on a personal level in order to for the project flow to go right as well.
Yeah, yeah. That seems like something that comes up time and time again with a lot of freelancers, particularly if you have enough word of mouth or connections that business is not scarce, you start to value those kind of intangibles of, like, you know, who do I have chemistry with as a client? What's, you know, do I believe in their product? Am I going to enjoy spending, you know, 80 hours working on something promoting this product, et cetera, et cetera. So that's pretty cool.
Right, yeah.
All right. So, sorry, I'm just like scrolling through your website. I really like the clean design that you got here. It's very, very minimal, very nice. And
thank you.
Looks like it really gets the job done in just a one or two pages. Is it single page? Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's single page. And because I actually, I feel I'm a minimalist myself, like in my lifestyle and my day to day. So I wanted the design of my website to reflect that and really focus on the content.
You're at a campsite and you're a minimalist. What? I can't believe it. So what kind of connections have you made in the, so you said maybe you found Divi through a Facebook group or whatever, but I feel like you're maybe kind of active in the community now. Are there people that you've connected with in the community that you feel like has been beneficial to your career?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I know, like, I chatted with Leslie Bunnell, and she's referred some people to me in the past, and I believe she was also one of the people recommending me for Divi Nation, which I think really cool. Hi, Leslie, if you see this. Other than that, what was really nice for me to get involved in was with Kath Wood. She's in Australia.
Yeah.
And we did the beta run for a course for small business owners who don't have the budget for a full web development, but have the time to learn it themselves, but then have a team of people behind them to guide them along and to help them with, say, design decisions or SEO or whatever the case may be. So I was involved in that, and my lesson focused on WooCommerce specifically, and I really enjoyed that. And that, if one would ask Kat, she knows I was frightened to get in front of the camera. So that also helped me be a bit more comfortable. So yeah, that's really cool.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think a lot of people are catching on to the fact that there's a whole audience out there of people who maybe don't have a budget for, you know, a dedicated person on their staff or to even hire a freelancer, but they've got, you know, $249 for an Elegant Themes membership, and they've got time on their hands, and they're willing to invest in the time it takes to bring themselves up to a certain skill level that they can create and maintain their own website. That sort of DIY audience is huge for us. Yeah. But even as a third party person or a community member, there are a lot of ways that, you know, people looking to make money in the Divi space can kind of carve out a niche for themselves by educating that group or providing resources for that group so that they can go out and accomplish their goals without needing to invest in anything more than, say, an e-course.
Right. And that's why I really enjoyed it as well, is because that actually was very much needed when I started out.
Yep.
And I didn't have people like that, like, behind me. So that's why I really enjoy being that what I actually needed for other small business owners.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'd love to circle back around to your nomadic work style, and maybe we could talk about some tips and tricks for anybody who wants to get out there and work from the road for these long stretches of time. Maybe talk about some of the things that you've learned over your course doing it. First of all, how long have you been working kind of from the road?
From the road. I mean, I've been location independent basically for like 4 years. So I've been in South Africa, but I've switched location quite often. I wasn't permanently traveling, but I definitely had to be location independent, which was cool. But then last year, December, I basically, you know, I canceled my apartment and I became homeless in the best sense. It's actually something digital nomads congratulate each other on, is becoming that kind of, like, you know, having no base anymore. And then after spending some time with family, I spent like a 2 weeks here, 1 month there kind of lifestyle, and especially around the Mediterranean. So that's when it was really like I felt more like a full digital nomad, because I didn't have that base to fall back on. Which was, yeah, definitely has its challenge. When you travel around carry on only with, you know, just a backpack with all the stuff you're going to use for a month, and your, you know, your laptop takes up a couple of kgs already.
Yeah, maybe you can walk us. So you're doing a very minimalist version of this. I mean, a lot of people, when they go digital nomad, they buy a camper or an RV or a van, and they kind of trick it out so that it has all the gear that they need to work from the road. But you're literally talking about out of a backpack. Walk us through your backpack. What's your backpack look like? What's essential and what's not?
Right. So first of all, the backpack itself, I was really fussy because I was very concerned about my tech getting damaged. Because obviously, you know, as a web designer, my tech is precious to me, as Absolutely. Is to all of us. So I ended up getting one that's, you know, the right dimensions for carry on was very important to me. But then it has this very nice laptop compartment, which is adjustable, and it's like so nicely padded, and a tablet compartment and whatnot. So that was my first priority, is to have all my tech protected really well. Mm-hmm. And then what was a big one for me is to squeeze the clothes in there still. And when I was in Europe, it was winter coming on spring. So it's not like you can just throw a couple of dresses and some flip-flops in your bag and you're done. I had to take heavy jerseys. I had to be warm. So I bought two compression bags as well. They're like a zip-up kind, so cloth material one, which basically you zip one closed and then you compress it, then you zip the second, which is much more durable. And yeah, that way I ended up stowing so much in my backpack.
That's awesome.
Most people always were surprised when I would pull everything out, like how much actually fits in it once it's compressed and smartly packed, you know?
Yeah, this compression, like I've been getting into backpacking recently, and the compression bags are huge for saving space, and they make it really easy to, because a lot of them, I don't know the ones you use, how, if they have like a, if the fabric is cut and sewn together so that it has like a cube shape, but it makes, so the packing cubes make it so that everything fits in like very, like at right angles. So you can put like an extraordinary amount of things in a small space because there's no lost space with like folded garments that are bulky or round or whatever. So.
Yeah, and you can be organized as well. So you can have one cube for that, one cube for that. And I quite like that. And that's also when moving around a lot, you really don't want things to be disorganized. You know, it's nice because you can just take them, put them in the drawer of wherever you're staying, and just leave it in the cube. And that's that. So that was a big one in terms of like my, you know?
Yeah, it's almost like having, with the cubes having different designations, it's almost like being able to carry like a dresser around. You're like, this is my sock drawer, this is my shirts, these are my, you know, stuff like that. So
in mini really home, like that.
That's awesome. So let's see, walk us through your tech. You've got a laptop, obviously, but what do you, I mean, you've mentioned that you have a router. Do you have like model numbers? Do you have like, how do you make sure that you have the tech you need to do your job?
Right. Typically when I was in Europe, I would just connect to whatever Wi-Fi. But I mean, right now, I wouldn't know what model number, but I just ended up buying the router that promised to be able to handle the most speed, to be able to handle, you know, many devices connected to it. If I would, say, meet up with friends to work together, things like that. And that's also able to go onto ADSL, but then can also be on the SIM card. And so it's not as compact. I mean, I actually have it right here. So it's like, you know, right here. So I have the best connection. It's not very compact, but it just, you know, it's just more potent than one of those little things that you plug into your laptop, you know,
with a little antenna. Compact, but
yeah, if you're going to be somewhere for a little while, something like this is much better.
Yeah, it seems like, I mean, obviously, if it's the difference between being able to do your job or not, it's something you just make room for.
Right, yeah, for sure.
That's awesome. So let's see. What we've talked about your work setup, how you have a table. Is the table just something that's unique to this location? Obviously, you're probably not traveling with a folding table.
No, No, right. So I kind of make the setup work wherever I am. And I mean, with my friend staying here, and I mean, him basically permanently camping, you know, he had the foldable table and an extra chair and whatnot. And I am actually getting a much more comfortable, typical desk chair from Cape Town this weekend, which will be good because your posture and your back is also something to think on. And that's not what camping gear is built for, really, to be used permanently and to sit like 10 hours a day or whatever it may be in a camping chair. They're not built for that. So that will be a bit of luxury in the tent, is our two, you know, proper office chairs.
Yeah. So that's actually my next question is, like, is there a certain number of things that you know that you need or would want, such as a chair or table, that you just know or plan on scavenging, borrowing, buying whenever you settle in for somewhere?
Yeah, I typically just go spontaneous. So I've been staying at places called co-working spaces in Europe.
Oh, yeah.
So they're, depending on, I mean, you've got luxurious ones, you've got a bit more rustic ones. They all have tables and chairs. The one might be my height or not. So that's, you know, that's a thing. But yeah, I generally work with what I've got. And if I have to sit on the couch with a laptop on my lap sometime, then that's what I do. Unless I would be somewhere for, say, a month and there's nothing that I'm happy with, then I would probably ask around or maybe go to a secondhand store or something like that and do it like that.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. How easy is it to find co-working spaces or places where you can set up shopping and do your work?
Again, I mean, I keep referring back to Europe, but that's only because I've been back in South Africa only for a month now. But yeah, so in Europe, it's that's pretty easy depending on where you go. But most of the countries, and I mean, it's growing very strongly. Co-working is becoming a bit of a trend, I think, as is being a digital nomad.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're like, I was in Spain and Italy, there are definitely plenty to choose from. I know there's like a big co-working scene in the UK as well. So yeah, that's all good. And I mean, I haven't been in the States, but I know there's a huge co-working network there as well.
I'm at a co-working office right now.
there are websites for that have directories on them, and we can just search based on your place, and yeah, so that's really useful.
So tell us, for anybody who's interested in exploring, maybe starting the research for creating a digital nomadic lifestyle for themselves, what are some resources that you would recommend people check out if they're interested in looking into it?
Right. So for me, being in Facebook groups, dedicated Facebook groups, has been huge. I don't know what I would have done without them. And that goes for WordPress and Divi groups as well, by the way. Yeah, so there are big ones out there that are like some, I think, even like 20,000, 30,000 people strong. Wow. People just share like the most wonderful resources with each other, their stories, their ups and downs. They're there to help each other when someone gets stuck, because it's very much a life journey thing. And, you know, challenges come up. It's being a digital nomad, it's often portrayed as this fairy tale and this, you know, I'm with my laptop on the beach kind of scenario. But honestly, I mean, sand is not that good for laptops. So, you know, but there are challenges unique to this lifestyle, and that's all okay. I mean, it's all worth it. But being connected with so many people that have been, some have been a digital nomad before the term digital nomad even was invented. Yeah. So really nice to have the supportive people all around the world living this lifestyle, and so many people who are in web design and development as well.
Wow. Yeah. So any particular blogs? I mean, the Facebook groups, I can only imagine that they're probably the biggest source. I know even within our own community, You know, if people have problems or challenges or they need some support, they go right there and it's almost instantaneous. But what about something maybe more static, like reference material or books or blogs that have good articles on them? Anything that comes to mind?
Right. Yeah. There's the Digital Nomad book. I think it's Digital Nomad, How to Live, Work, and Play Around the World, something to that extent. And it's an ebook with multiple writers, and they cover things from how does tax work when you're permanently traveling, for example, or things like visas, things like setups, things like what to pack, what to think of. And it's, you know, it's so broad, how to connect with people when you're in a place when you don't know anyone.
Yeah.
Those kind of things. That book was gold to me for sure.
Awesome. So, and I'll go ahead and look up some of the, maybe you can send me the names of Facebook groups that you're into, because I want to make sure I'm taking some notes so that I can create some show notes that will have quick resources for people. So I'll include a link to that book as well as the Facebook groups that you send over that you think are good. Good resources for people.
Okay, we'll do.
Awesome. So I think we're coming up on the end of our time, and I think leaving off with the resources is probably a great stopping point. Noelle, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us and share your story and your setup. And I know I'm probably not the only one who's going to be a bit inspired by what it is you're doing and how you're doing it.
Thanks, Nathan. It was really nice to be on. Thank you so much.
Well, that's all for this episode of Divi Nation. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. I just want to give another big thank you to our guest, Noelle Steegs, for coming on the show. If you have any questions about what we discussed in today's episode, please feel free to leave them in the comments section on the Elegant Themes blog, and we will be sure to respond. Now, before we sign off, let's do announcements. I'm happy to report that since our last episode, I've started several conversations with members of our meetup community, and we're inching closer week by week to a whole bunch of new Divi Nation meetups all over the world. Now, when they're actually scheduled, trust me, I will let you know. For now, though, I'm just happy that we've got some more event hosts on our account working toward that goal. Our other big announcement of the week, and this is a huge one, is that in the very near future, there will be some huge changes to the Divi Nation podcast and video show itself. Instead of pre-recording the show and releasing it on Fridays, we're transitioning Divi Nation to a live stream on Facebook on Thursdays. So the first week that we're going to do this will be next week. So be sure to tune in for that. We'll go live on the Elegant Themes Facebook page at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, if you prefer catching the show on YouTube or in your preferred podcast service, there's more good news for you. Not only will the recorded live stream be available on YouTube, but this new change will finally allow us to address some long-standing issues that we've had with our podcast RSS feed, ensuring that our show will be available on every major podcasting service, something that many, many people have requested that we resolve in the past, and I'm happy to report that we're going to get to do just that. Again, tune in for the new version of the Divi Nation video show and podcast next Thursday, October 19th, live on Facebook at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then following the live stream, it will also be available on YouTube and in iTunes. The only place you won't be able to find it will be on our blog. Instead of publishing the Divi Nation podcast on our blog, we're going to replace that post with a brand new slot of Divi tutorials so that we're giving you even more Divi awesomeness than we currently are each and every week. Speaking of which, this Monday, October 9th, we're going to have another outstanding Divi freebie in store for you all. This week, we released the Divi restaurant layout pack. Next week, we're releasing the Divi business layout pack. So this is one that you're all going to want to grab. And just like this week, I'll be doing another hour-long live stream to show a fully functioning use case for the new Divi business layout pack that will air on Tuesday. Whew. We had a lot of announcements to get through this week, but they're over now, and so is this episode of Divi Nation. Thanks again for tuning in, and I'll see you guys next week. It's going to be a big one.